For JKV, thanks a bunch, Chad. That means a whole lot coming from you, because I know you're very serious about radio. And I know we talked a couple times, and we never met, but I have a whole lot of respect for you, and the fact that you chimed in just means a whole lot. So I'm going to put it back to Nick. AK4HR, Mike, take it. This is KO4JKV. I'll be listening.
Well, again, appreciate y'all extending the net out here a little bit, and glad, like I say, I think Chad kind of sounds off the rest of us. You know, it's great when people advance and, you know, continue on with the hobby. You know, there's some folks that take the test and don't have access to radios or, you know, they're doing it for whatever reasons they are, but don't get on the radio quite as much. So, you know, we definitely love when folks advance into general and extra and, you know, get on the radio and talk. So it just expands our hobby out. But, again, appreciate you guys taking the time to check in with us tonight. But let's go ahead and see if we have any additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net before we continue on with our Rag Jew portion. A through Z, Alpha through Zulu, beginning the suffix of your call. And you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR, Net Control.
Net Control. India 4, Delta Tango Yankee, KI4DTY, this is Daniel N. Taylors.
Net Control. In and out, Kilo, Golf, 4, Papa, Foxtrot, India, name's Don. Check my wife in, Linda, Kilo, Golf, 4, Quebec, Lima, Quebec. And we're in Piedmont. We'll just be in and out. Good evening to you and everybody on the net.
Net Control, please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, Papa X-ray Bravo, Lloyd in Simpsonville, KO4PXB.
Char. Check in, Kilo 4, X-ray Bravo, K4XB, Tommy, Southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative.
Check-ins there as we continue the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight in our Rag Tree portion. Up first, I'd like to welcome Daniel. That's Kilo India 4, Delta Tango Yankee. Goodness, can't get my phonetics out. Sorry about that, Daniel. But got you logged in here, KI4DTY, and appreciate you stopping by and checking in with us. Up next, we've got Don. I wonder where you were, Don. I'm glad you were able to check in here. Sorry, I might have been a little long-winded there with our Rag Chew portion. But anyway, Don, I'd like to welcome you tonight. Kilo Golf 4, Papa Foxtrot India, KG4PFI. And Don brings along with him his sweetheart, Miss Linda. That's Kilo Golf 4, Quebec, Lima, Quebec, KG4QLQ. And Don, sounded good into the repeater. Appreciate you taking the time to stop by and check in with us. Up next in that group, we had Lloyd. That's Kilo Oscar 4 Papa X-ray Bravo, KO4PXB. And Lloyd, appreciate you taking the time to check in with us. You're kind of somewhere over here near me in the 29681 zip code, but I'll have to look up your address later. But Lloyd, sounded like you're making a good trip up to the repeater tonight, so appreciate you taking the time to check in with me. And last but not least in that group, we've got our friend Tommy, Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo, K4XB. Tommy, always good to hear you, my friend. Appreciate you coming by and check in with me. You must have been counting because you make a straight 50 tonight. So, Tommy, always good to hear you, my friend. Appreciate you taking the time to check in. Always good to hear you and hope you're staying safe as well. K4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. Before we get our next rag chew, we'll give one more call here for additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call, and you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control. Calls normally means we have everybody, and I have to do better at trying to leave a little bit of time there for folks to key up. I know I get a little long-winded on here when I start talking, but let's see. We finished up with Duncan there. Had a good rag chew, so we'll go ahead and scroll down the log just a little bit. And looks like we have Walt, Kilo 4 Oscar India Mike, K4OIM, signed up next to make a few comments. So, Walt, not too chilly out there tonight, so we'll dust off the heater, or dust off the stump, turn the heater up a little bit, and we'll go ahead and pass the frequency over to you and find out how was your day, sir.
4HR, I mean, it's been, I couldn't ask for a better day, Mike. This K4OIM, but on Tuesday night when I called the net, after I closed net down, send my net report in. I started several months ago having a round table. I knew there were new hams out there that was scared of getting on the mic and scared to ask questions, thinking it would be something stupid. And to watch Chad progress along and move up, that just thrilled me to death. And to hear just a moment ago about KO4 JKB Duncan up there in Asheville, he used to just check in negative and negative. But I think it's 2 or 3 weeks ago he checked in and started asking questions. And then Chad, he come in and was answering questions like Larry, myself, and Andy, KI4LZI up there, and Dave, W4DJW. Hey, somebody always stick around for the round table to answer these new questions. And Duncan chimed in, and boy, he was asking questions. But I'm not patting myself on the back, but it makes me feel so proud to see these technicians upgrading, moving up so fast. It's just heartwarming, Mike.
HR with K4OIM and the RAGCHU portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Yeah, you know, Walt, that's what Duncan and I were kind of talking about. You know, it's nice to hear when folks are upgrading and using and learning and, you know, that part. Because, you know, it's just like everything, it seems like, in life. All the bad stuff you hear about, none of the good stuff you do, you don't hear too much about, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, there's so few things now that, you know, where people are genuinely happy when you're, you know, expanding your privileges and using stuff and doing things. You know, we were talking about that with my family the other day, and you know, there's so few things. Like we were using our Boy Scouts as an example. You know, when you used to make rank or your badges in the Boy Scouts, you know, there was a celebration. You know, a little bit. You know, when you earned something, and you know, people were proud of you and that kind of stuff. So I think we've kind of lost that, and you know, it's good that our community, the ham community, kind of still has that. You know, there's some congratulations because you know the work that had to be put in. You know, some people don't test very well, and you know, there's a lot of learning, and you know, we all had to kind of go through the same steps, so we kind of learn to appreciate each other a little bit more, I guess, and the folks that are willing to do the work, if that makes sense.
What are you talking about? I had a next-door neighbor that was a ham operator, and he got me interested in it. And I didn't have the money back then to buy no radio equipment, and he gave me the, back then it was a novice class manual. And I swear, when I took my novice class, it was harder than taking the general class. I mean, back then, I've been a ham 43 years. Back then, you went to TV shops and they would give you their junk TVs. You take them home, get them out, get the transformer and the chokes and all out of it, the resistors, capacitors. You built your own receiver. You built your own transmitter. It was so hard back then, and I did not have an Elmer. I had to do this on my own, and my daddy says I never would mount to nothing. And, well, maybe I'm not, but I'd hate to disappoint my daddy, but boy, I was never so proud in all my life as when I got that novice class license. And to this day, I'm not into digital. I heard you talking about it and all, but I know all about FT8 and all that. I like sideband, and I even get down on AM every once in a while. And I love CW. And there's so many different ways to go in this hobby. It is such a fantastic hobby to get into. and you don't have to really spend a lot of money. If I was Duncan, I would go out and buy a new transceiver. Gary's got a load of them on the swap net from Silent Keys are good, clean transceivers. And you get one anywhere from, $400 for a good used transceiver, and Gary's a straight up honest guy, and you're not going to get chipped from Gary. And my antenna out here on the HF, I've got a 80-40 meter dipole up I built myself. I got less than $12 in it, and I talk all over the world on it with a tuner in the radio. That thing will tune, I ain't been up on 160. I know it'll get from 80 through 10.
Exactly right there. You know, I think, like me, again, Duncan and I are about the same age, so we probably have about, you know, we share some of the same, I guess, generational things. But, you know, I kind of was impatient when I first got my HF rig, and so I ordered that FT-857. I think that's the only new radio I've got. Everything else I've bought either used or from a swap net or a ham fest. And like you were mentioning, though, back in the days of old, you know, my dad's been a ham operator since I can ever remember. I mean, you know, he was one when he was a teenager. My great-grandfather got him into it, if that tells you anything. And so he's been a ham operator. Good Lord, you know, again, 50 years, longer than I've been alive. So, you know, I've only been around, had my license for 10 because I never picked up the code back in the day because I don't know why I never. But I'm getting there. I'm getting better each time I pick it up and try and practice. But, you know, you had mentioned you love CW. My brother, years ago, like you said, he had to go down to the FCC office to take the test. And it's not like the VEC sessions today where, you know, you can kind of go somewhere and they're friendly. If you've ever been in a government facility, you kind of know what it's like. It's a little go through the door sometimes. But my brother, he had his novice license and W like nobody's business. And that was, he loved it. You know, he would tune up and down the bands, and, you know, we shared a room in the basement, and one time was my dad's ham shack, or dad and brother's ham shack, and my brother would sit over there and just, you know, he'd just play code all day, and he loved it. Of course, now I ask him if he wants to get back into it, and his life's taking different directions with work and family and stuff, but he may at some point come back to it. But I just remember growing up, you know, my dad would take us to, like, military surplus things. And you were mentioning the TV shops. We would go to those military surplus things and buy, I couldn't tell you what they were, but they were electronics at the time. They had tubes in them and resistors and, you know, and my dad would just have us, you know, buy something that was, you know, $5. And, you know, we'd go at it with a pair of dykes and cut components off and thought we were just, you know, making the, I don't even know, making something for Elon Musk these days. But, you know, definitely sparked an interest in electronics and, you know, do computers and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, this hobby, if you can't find something you like, you're just not looking. Because, again, like I was mentioning to Duncan, you don't have to stick with what you want. I mean, what you're doing, especially if you don't like it, there's always something else you can try and experiment with.
Restore these old pose anchors. I've got, last time I counted, I got 10 of them sitting in here. I've got a 32 foot camper I bought. I had to move in with my daughter after I had that stroke and fell out of my shack and broke my neck. I got this camper down here, I got my station in. I've just about gutted everything out of it. It's all radio equipment. But I love these old Bose anchors. Far as I know, I'm about the only one around that even fool with one. I can't even take no more in now because I can't get parts for what I've got tore apart. And but I'm still looking for a heat kit 401, SB401 transmitter, working or not working. But, yeah, back when I got into ham radio, you couldn't send your radio back to Yaesu, ICOM, or Kenwood, because you built it yourself. And you had to know what each part was, what each tube was, what that tube done, and if the voltage wasn't right on it, what resistor you need to put in the circuit to drop it down. I know your dad went through that. I mean, back then, you on your novice test, you had to draw a Hartley oscillator and explain that tube in there, what each element done, and what each resistor and capacitor done coming off the power supply to get the supply to the screen or the grid, and then 6.3 or the 12 volt, you know that was going to the heater element in there. But all them days are gone now. And you had to know at least 5 words a minute. CW. Honestly, if the FCC hadn't changed the rules and all, we wouldn't have near as many hams as we got now. But I don't regret it. I mean, I was brought up old school, and the new digital stuff, I don't understand it. I just gave up my operate sideband and CW. Back to you, Mike.
HR with Walt W4OIM in the rag chew portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. And yeah, well, you know, my dad's kind of the same way. You know, he's old school electronics. You know, he can trace down a schematic and look at all the components and pull that down. Now, I can do it a little bit if I have to, but again, the stuff that's made today, the solid state and the the small components, the super small stuff, I mean, my eyes are starting to go, too. I can barely see most of the stuff on the board, but, you know, I know a lot of that surface mount stuff, that's what I was trying to think about, the surface mount stuff, that's so small, the machines have to put it together. But, you know, some of that stuff, my dad still loves the boat anchors. You know, he's got some Collins stuff and some Hallicrafter stuff. I haven't seen his shack in years. But, again, he hasn't been quite as active over the last couple of years. But he still gets on the radios. But he and I kind of laugh because he's kind of in the same boat you are. He doesn't really like the computers. He does his logging on there. That's about it. You know, so he doesn't really interface his computers with his radios. And again, you know, that's the part he enjoys. But he loves to rag chew. And he's always been a big 6-meter fan. I remember growing up that, you know, every year the 6-meter contests were like his big thing every year. And, you know, whenever the 6-meter contests would come up, he was in the shack 24 hours. You know, it's just one of those things. And, you know, didn't appreciate it back then, but now I kind of miss it.
What you mean? Boy, back when I got into it, well, it ain't been that long ago. Well, it's been 11 years now. I had went to Radio Shack and bought one of those HT10s. It was a 25-watt, 10-meter radio. And I didn't have the only antenna I had a 20-foot extension cord. I cut the ends off of it. I think I folded it in half, and yeah, I cut it about each leg, 8'6", put a center insulator in there, stripped the coax back, fed it up to it, and put up an inverted V. The center of it wasn't 5 feet off the ground, and the ends of it went up probably 10 feet, and I worked the world on 10 meters on 25 watts on that little radio. But the other thing that made my day great today, I went to Charlotte up to my stepson's to watch our Christmas parade with my daughter and my 5-year-old grandson. And my daughter had to go to the store. She come back and there's 2 extra people in the car. And this blonde-headed lady gets out with a little 8-year-old blonde girl and she comes up on the porch. We sit there. He lives right there in town waiting on the parade. We sit there waiting on the parade, and this girl walked up to me. She said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" I said, "No, I don't. I'm your daughter. You are my daddy. You talking about getting your socks knocked off. I've got a 41-year-old daughter I did not know about. And she had found my daughter on Ancestry.com. And I can't lie, that girl, she's beautiful. She looks just like me, Mike, AK4. I see him, AK4OIM.
Tickled there. I kind of knew where that story was going when you said she looked like you. That's the talk my wife and I have about our girls. They're beautiful. I tell them they got her smarts and my looks. So, yeah, that's awesome, though, Walt. You know, family today is a big thing. And, of course, you know, again, I think a lot of people have kind of lost some of that. But down here in the South where we live, it's still a good thing to have family around. And, you know, my extended family, my family's growing. My son and daughter both engaged in the last couple months. And, you know, my in-laws, soon-to-be in-laws, son-in-law's parents, she was adopted and had a similar journey. She got to get in touch with her birth father, and he didn't know that she was around. Just, again, the way the whole situation was handled back then, and, you know, different times, and people had different priorities, I guess. And, you know, now, you know, not that I want to find out I have, you know, I wouldn't be upset if I found out I had another brother. I could put it that way, or sister. But I'm pretty sure I've only got the three. My parents were pretty conservative. But, you know, it's a different time now, and I think the bigger the family, the better. But, you know, especially with all the stuff that's going on, anybody that we can bring closer and bring in his family is all the better. So that's awesome news, Walt. That's awesome to hear.
I am glad to hear. Up till today, my family consists of my daughter and her half-brother. And after her mom and I divorced, yeah, I sneak back up there every once in a while. But I didn't know this girl even existed till today. And she had the printout from Heritage.com and the CMAs matched up and all. It was 99.99% I was her daddy. And, man, I hated to see her leave and go back home. But this girl is a private secretary for the prosecutor in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's up there in court every day. I'm proud of her, even though I didn't have nothing to do with it. She come to find out she was adopted out, and a doctor, and his wife, a doctor, a brain surgeon, and his wife adopted her when she was 16 months old. And it's just great finding that out. I mean, this has been the best Christmas I ever had in my life, seeing that girl. I mean, I would deny it. If anybody had told me I had another daughter, I would deny it. I knew I didn't, but boy, she proved to me I did.
HR with K4OIM, Walt, and the Rag-Tree portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Yeah, Walt, that's really good. Let me check for additional stations here, and then I got another story to relate to you. This is AK4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Tonight, looking for additional check-ins to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. You wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control. have everybody for the moment, Walt, so we'll continue on with our RAG2. And, you know, it is kind of funny because, you know, looking back about how things were handled years ago versus how they're handled now, and, you know, we like to, my wife and I like to kid each other about, you know, some people hide stuff. We put it out on the front porch and just let people see because, you know, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But, you know, my grandfather and grandmother divorced years ago, and, you know, nobody ever told me why. I mean, my grandfather passed when I was about 5 years old back in the 70s anyway. And my mom, probably, I mean, I'll be 52, 53, and maybe about 4 years ago told me I have an aunt that I've never met in my entire life. And apparently my mom didn't know about her until a couple years ago. So, you know, I'm just like, you know, I think it's great to expand the family. Now, I know there are some extenuating circumstances and not everybody had to, but, you know, that was for, at least for our family, it was 40 years ago. That's a long time to get over that. You know, it's, you know, I'd like to know her at some point. And, I mean, if she wants to know who I am, I mean, I would sit down and have a coffee and talk to her and stuff like that because, again, she's part of my family. So, you know, I know everybody has different opinions and different views on how that all goes, but I think that's awesome, Walt. And again, I hope you can continue that relationship and get in touch with her, and hope that goes well for you as you move into the future.
K4HR, K4OIM. You know, Mike, when I married my daughter's mother, she already had a son. And I treated him, you know, like he was mine. And like I said on the net the other night, people say you can't love your stepkids like you love your own kids. Well, when I married my daughter's mother, my daddy said, you married into a ready-made family. That's the way people were back then in the 60s. And Bill, that boy, he calls me daddy. He ain't never called me stepdad. And I try when I out somewhere and introduce him to a friend, I says, my son Bill. And he told me the other day when I met Patsy, his half sister, this is not a stepdaughter. This is my daughter's sister. I mean, this is, but when she went to leave, I was sitting there, tears out of my eyes. 40-something years of Christmases and birthdays that I've missed out of this girl's life. But she knew who I was, who her mother told her who her daddy was. All these years, and back then I was a heavy equipment operator. I worked all over the United States, and I never was served papers for child support or nothing. And before her mother died, she told her, "No, he ain't your daddy. I don't know who your daddy is. Honestly, I don't." Boy, her and my daughter got on that MyHeritage.com, and it come up, I was her daddy, and when I seen her today, they wasn't no doubt, Mike. I know somebody else is waiting to get on here, but it's good, been good talking to you, Mike. And boy, I just had to tell somebody about this. It has been a wonderful day. AK4 HRK4OIM. I'll be clear on your final, Mike.
HR with KI4OIM and the RAG2 portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. Yeah, Walt, you know, again, I'm glad you could bring that story and share it with us for sure. And I will tell you, though, I don't know if I would have agreed with what you said because I know too many people that have stepchildren and, you know, they have, like, his, hers, and ours, you know, with this whole blended family thing that happens a lot today. But I think you might have heard me talk about we kind of kid. We have a good family friend, a good friend of my son's in high school, passed away I guess it's, he's been gone for 3 years now, but he has two beautiful grandbabies, and not that they're our step-grandbabies, but we love them like they're ours. And we don't have any current grandchildren, but those two, if you ask them, that we're their grandparents. And I kid my wife, I'm like, I don't care nothing about those girls, but they call me middle of the night, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And a couple weeks now, one of the little girls, she's six, she went missing for about an hour. And there must have been 20 of us that showed up at her mom's looking for her. And it turned out she was at the neighbor's, which was fine. But her being gone that long scared the bejesus out of all of us. And I was like, I told her, I was like, you don't understand what it's like to be loved by that many people. And she's like, yeah, I get it. I mean, but again, she's six. So I don't think she understands completely. But there's so many people in her life that love her like a daughter or a granddaughter or, you know. And but my wife, same thing, you know, Christmas presents, birthday presents, she wants to be around them all the time. So I kind of agree with you. You can love stepchildren or, you know, you make your family, I guess is what I'm saying, but you choose the people you love. But again, that is awesome news, Walt, and again, I wish you the best with that relationship. And, you know, again, it's like you said, it's tough on what you missed out, but you got so much to look forward to that, you know, hopefully that'll make it better. And I appreciate you bringing that and sharing it with us, Walt. And definitely we'll talk again soon, though. 73, my friend, definitely stay safe and stay warm, and we'll talk again first chance we get. Before we close out the net here, I know it's getting late in the evening, so we'll give one more call here. Alpha through Zulu, anyone, anywhere with a call sign at all that wishes can't even talk, Walt. You talked me out tonight. But anyone, anywhere with a call sign at all that wants to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR Net Control.
This is Whiskey Delta 8, Romeo Oscar November. Over.
Kelsey, I have a comment for you here in a minute.
Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Charlie Yankee Charlie. This is Kevin in Seneca.
NUE with a question.
Hello there, guys. I was writing and typing and trying to keep everybody straight here. Let me make sure I've got everybody, and I'm acknowledging Chad and Andy. And up first, I'd like to welcome Edward. That's Whiskey Delta 8, Romeo Oscar November, WD8RON. And Edward, good to hear you, my friend. Appreciate you stopping by and checking in with us. And up next in that group, we got Kilo Oscar 4, Charlie Yankee Charlie, KO4CYC, and that's Kevin over in Seneca. And I appreciate you guys coming by and checking in with me tonight. Got you logged in here, and definitely good to get you in the log. And up first, let's go with Andy, KI4LZI. Go with your question, Andy.
Well, that's more or less a comment, but you was talking about some of the boat anchors that your dad would get parts off of. There's a website, I think, that would interest you a lot, because it's got a lot of surplus gear on it, as well as regular ham and broadcast stuff. It's Radio Boulevard, RadioBLVD.com. It's a place out in Nevada where they've got all kinds of stuff from the beginning to the end of the tube gear, including surplus stuff on there. I think you would find interesting, because you'll find all kinds of stuff on it from the military in World War II you would find on that website, as well as some stuff like Walt's found on there for some of his hovercraft. KI4LZI.
Definitely jotted that down, and I'll forward it on to my dad again. I'm not sure where he gets his pieces and parts from, but, you know, he's up in Virginia and I'm down here, but I know he's got a community up there that they talk and swap parts and stuff. But I just remember, again, you know, we would do some ham fest, but I remember every once in a while we would go up to Norfolk and they'd have like a military surplus sale or something, and we'd find they were probably like old power supplies or something. I couldn't even tell you what they were, to be honest. And, you know, we would just take parts out of there and fill up his spare parts bin, but with resistors and old tubes and stuff. Probably nothing he ever needed, but it was like the old tin can your grandfather keeps in the garage full of screws. You know, as soon as you get rid of it, you would find the one thing that you needed that was in that box. So,
Kelsey, Well, this website, anything, it don't matter if it was in the military, during the wars, World War II in particular, or if it's even got some of the early broadcast radios on there from the 20s, the 30s. I'm trying to remember. Like I say, there's so much, it's hard for me to keep it straight, but about everything from the beginning to the end of the tube area, you're going to find on there. Go ahead and get Chad now. KI4LZ, I beg you.
Okay, I'll forward that up to him. He may already know about that, but it doesn't hurt to share the information. I appreciate you bringing it to me. All right, good to talk to you, Andy. 73, my friend. All right, and let's go ahead and move on down here. KO4NUE, Chad, you still around, sir?
Clear, but I'm just going to go ahead and give you fair warning. I am going to get all the voltage in Larry's batteries tonight, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to go ahead and shut the net down, because if you don't, then you're going to be here for a while.
I think the midnight oil is burning on my end anyway, so I think I was running out of check-ins there. But let me do one more call here, and then we'll probably be able to secure. Is that okay?
KO4NU, I'll be clear, but standing by.
Problem. I appreciate the warning, but I think we're pretty close to the end here. We're sitting on about 52 check-ins, which is pretty close to my top. I'd have to go back and look, but we'll give one more call here. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. You wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight? Please call AK4HR, net control. Pause normally means have everybody, but one final call. Have I missed anyone for comments or check-ins? Please call AK4HR, net control. We have a wrap on the net tonight. I believe Daniel, can't even get Daniel's call sign out. Eyes are getting tired. But Daniel, KJ4WZM, will be calling the net tomorrow night. I believe he's up on the schedule. And I know he'd appreciate you folks coming back and checking in with him. Great night to net tonight. I really appreciate everybody sticking around, making comments, and checking in with me. Give me just one second here. I'll pass my net report electronically. As I was mentioning, Chad had 52 check-ins tonight, so I really appreciate that. Stand by for my net report. Again, appreciate everybody sticking around. This is AK4HR, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for all stations who checked in. Remember, and try and do your best and keep that magic RF smoke inside the components where it belongs, and come back and check in again tomorrow night. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73, God bless, good night. And Chad, I'll probably pass it over to you and Larry. 73, guys.
God bless.
4JBQ. K4OIM, KI4LZI, I got a question for you.
JBQ here. Hello, Chad.
K4OIM, I'm here, Chad. Do you know why we're going to leave?
I don't care. For the moment, I'm just listening. KI4LZI.
Here's my problem. So, when the kids moved out and I took over the bedroom, turned it into a ham shack, I ran coax through the wall and put a little hole in the wall with a nice little receptacle cover on it so I can actually pull the coax through the hole to put it into the back of the radio. Well, that was fine with one piece of coax. So now you can see, you know where I'm going with this. So now I've got three pieces of LMR 400 coming out of this little bitty hole. And so, with that said, you know where I'm going with it. I am designing a patch panel on this little CAD program I've got. And what I mean by a patch panel is, a piece of sheet metal. And this is going to be kind of like a little mind map here. So I want to bring the back of the radio through a piece of coax to the patch panel, and then bring the antennas into the back of the patch panel. And I'm going to take a piece of coax and patch. I'll patch this radio into that antenna, and if I want to screw, you know, I know there's switches for that, but there's a reason for this. I've got coax switches. I'm going somewhere with this. My question is, the SO239 connectors that you would solder coax to, you have a center connector, and then you have the shield that you would solder to the outer shield of the SO239. Where that junction is there RF lost, or not lost, but radiated in that open area between the SO239 solder on connectors, the panel mounts? Because if there is, I might have a problem with this.
K4OIM. I'm going to answer it this way, Chad. I got an oscilloscope. I wanted to monitor my RF signal. So I ordered an RF sampler from DX Engineering that goes between your radio and the antenna. On the back, it's got a BNC connector that you hook the positive pose, the red lead, the center lead coming off your scope to it. And you ground, you hook to a ground on the scope or on the BNC connector. And it picks up a minute portion of the RF to go into that scope, because you can't feed 100 watts into that scope. After I paid, I think, $29 for this thing, I was watching YouTube, and this guy said, you don't need that. If you got an antenna switch, they are lost in that RF signal coming out of your radio, going into that switch. All you gotta do is set your scope there next to the antenna switch and pick up your signal. It's so much lost, you don't need to worry about it, Chad.
Sure, I got it, because I need to clarify. The patch panel is all of the antenna connectors, panel-mounted SO239s. And on the bottom is SO239s that go to the back of the radios. So if I want to patch the Yaesu to a different antenna, or I can just physically undo a patch and move it to that antenna. The reason I'm asking this question is, on the patch panel that I'm designing, I also have 12-volt power outputs, bench connectors, power pole connectors, a voltage meter. So, in short, one side will be the RF side, and the other side will be 12-volt voltage that I can, if I want to repair a radio or something that's 12-volt, I can just plug it into that power pole. Is my DC voltage going to affect those soldered PO259s on the back of the patch panel? In other words, is it going to pick up a DC signal, or is it going to pick up noise, or is there some RF leakage at that solder connector that's going to affect this power arrangement I've got.
As it is, they people out there are smarter than we are, and nobody's designed something that will handle that. Regardless, no matter how much grounding you got, you're going to have RF in your shack. And you're going to pick up something off of that DC power supply coming in there. You would have to have some kind of awful good shielding on the RF section between that box and where your power supply is. Larry or Terry, am I wrong? Larry or Andy, am I wrong on this?
PQ. I think you're right, Walt. I would keep DC power as far away from antenna connections as possible. Now, it can... you can generously use insulation, and but I would put it on the same panel. The panel itself is going to be metal, and so I think it would induce into your coax. Even if it's not a direct short, it would induce KK4JBQ.
I get that. I didn't think about that till I got everything on the actual face of the patch panel. And then when I got all the components drawn on there, I looked at it and said, I don't think I need to be putting all this DC stuff next to these connectors. I'm sure that's going to be a problem. But I wanted to talk with somebody about it to make sure. So, all right, so back to the original question, now that I know the answer to that. But where, you know what a panel-mounted SO239 looks like. On the back of it is where you solder the coax in. Where the center connector is separated from the shielding, and then both of those are soldered onto the SO239. There has to be some leakage there. I mean, there has to be, because the shielding is separated from the center connector, and it just seems like to me there's a lot going on there. I think I'm right in thinking that, correct?
I am Ted. Like I was saying, I can set my oscilloscope here on the desk, or I can put it up back behind me on the stove or the kitchen cabinet back here, not even connected to my radio, and I can transmit on my radio and turn it around and look back there and see my signal going out on that scope that's not even connected to the radio. Yeah, RF is all in your shack. No matter how much grounding you got, there's RF in there. And it's coming from the PL259 to the SL239s. There's no way to stop it that I know of. Yeah, there's leakage, but it's so minute, you won't notice it running 100 watts. You wouldn't notice it running 5 watts. I ain't tried that running 5 watts on my scope, but this MT950 I got, I never run 100 watts on it. I usually run about 90 watts if I need it. But it'll pick that scope. I picked it up, getting here in the shack. And my daughter, she got 2 touch lamps up there in her bedroom. And if I get on, especially CW, every time I hit that key, I turn her touch lights dim. medium, right off, down, medium, right off. You're gonna have RF in your shack, Chad, no matter what.
Thank you. Just occurred to me that mediates this somewhat. And it does have to do with grounding. And shielding in particular. Grounding the shields. Think about it. If you have a tower and a rotator on the tower, you're going to run power to the rotator and coax to the antenna. And they're going to live right close to each other. You're going to run these lines parallel, not separated by nothing, but the shield on the coax and the shield on the power. So, I understand it's a concern, but as long as there's not any chance whatsoever of a short, and I can trust that you'll see that that's not going to happen, I think you'll be fine. Walt says there's going to be RF in the shack. Well, you can reduce that with a choke. Some people call it a choke baton, but that's a misnomer. It's an RF choke, and it's a simple one-to-one transformer. You can use a toroid if you like, and wind one half of the toroid one side and one half with the other side. There is no direct connection, so it will come there and stop. RF will stop. You want it right outside of the shack, in the open air, just a foot away, and the RF stops. And Walt, you could do that too. An RF choke will keep any RF from coming into the shack. But hum on the line, I just don't think there's going to be that much trouble. Think about what people have to live with a rotator and their transmission lines running through the same conduit. And that's what a lot of people do. They run conduit out to the tower. KK4JPQ.
KI4LCI. RF is very similar to water in a way, you might say. The easiest way for it to move is the way it's going to go. You want to make it as difficult as possible. In the case of this here with the RF, if you're not running much wattage, it won't be as big of an issue. But, say you're going to push maximum limit 1,500 watts, it might become a bigger problem. But in general, most of the time, it won't be, if the wattage ain't too excessive, won't be as big of an issue. Generally, it's not. That's what I've heard. KI4LCI.
So, let me tell you what I've done here. So, I have got a tele-equipment oscilloscope, a Type D54. So, I went to the closet and got it. I'll send you a video of this. I went to the closet and got it out and plugged it up to the bench. I got it here on the bench with me since Walt mentioned it. Turned it on, got my little trace going across the screen here, and I got nothing. When I key the mic, nothing. When you're talking, nothing. Well, on the left-hand side, there's an input with a BNC connector. So I just happen to have an antenna that's got a BNC connector on it. And oh my word, am I seeing this right? So I can actually see Andy's modulation when he talks. This trace goes crazy. I hadn't heard anybody else talk with it, but just from Andy talking, where is that coming from? Is that coming from my radios?